I haven't gotten really all that worked up about what's happened to Tom Brady. I understand that there are, you know, lots of different opinions. I personally think he got fucked a little bit. I think I don't know that anybody was going to necessarily. What happened here? This guy missed the bounce. It was the Twins against the Pirates, and the Pirate base runner was interfered with. Pirates won 10-4. Where was that? Was that in Pittsburgh? Yeah. I don't believe that Brady was fucking with the footballs to the extent that he knew, or that he was necessarily breaking the rules of the NFL. And I don't know whether or not the guy's lying. I mean, I don't think he is. I believe him. And I think it's... But right or wrong, it's a way bigger issue than it should be. It does not have that much... It doesn't have any fucking bearing on the fact that the Patriots have been a dominant football team over these years. None. Zero. I think the rule should be enforced, yes. If they found out that he did something wrong. And I think that... to that extent, get it fucking over with and moved on from, okay? Because all this shit does is it builds on itself, and it becomes reason enough for people that are just kind of stupid to think, well, hey, you know, the Patriots, they cheat. And that's how they've won, you know, 85 million championships, because they cheat. No, that's not how they won. You know, I saw how they won the last one. I saw how they won the... Did you see it? Because I watched it. They intercepted a fucking pass on the goal line. The opposing team, the opposing quarterback, called an ill-advised play, to put it kindly, and the New England Patriots intercepted the ball. And won. See? That's what happened. Kicked ass. That's what they do, man. You know, they're an opportunistic football team with a great football coach. Anyway, fuck it. Well, that's my opinion. I'm looking. I'm telling you, I'm looking. Is there a weird color to that screen? Looks kind of weird to me, but then I could be very... it's my eyeballs are fucked. Or fucked up, man. Just bloody fucked up, you know. So I'm going to copy this, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to go here. What do I do? No, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to go like this. And I'm going to make a note. Oh, shit. Yeah, wrong. Wrong. Font. Where's the font? There it is. No, I need to make that a little bit bigger than that. I'm looking for a love. Is that right? Nope, that's wrong. I would say it's a 16. Is that about right? Yeah, I think it is. All right, so I'm going to... make sure show up and pop back in. Harvey Wireman. Harvey Wireman, and then we have Ted Bell. Vernon Dozier on Deflategate. I'm looking here and there, looking everywhere. I'm looking. I'm still looking. Looking for love. Ted Bell. No, we have the restaurant one here. This is the one I like. This is a kitchen restaurant. I don't think we need to fuck with that too much. All right. What we do need to fuck with is...
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that would say they don't know, that they know Ted Bell. No one knows Ted Bell. I know Ted Bell. I'm Ted Bell. All right, so I know myself. Would you guys turn the kitchen down to you? I know myself. I know Ted Bell, and I know what I'm capable of. I believe that the Special Olympics, I didn't know there'd be a kid there, and they had a young man, and he apparently came from dead last to win because his goggles fell off. I got a sponge of that. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, and I have with me Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler.
Phil, this is Dr. Sadler.
Yes, Dr. Sadler.
Well, first of all, Phil, I think it's fair enough to say that Ted has a reasonable concern. I have worked with the disadvantaged. No one is a bigger champion of the disadvantaged than those who would be, you know, those that would try to better themselves.
Tell the part of it.
Yes, I will. Mr. Bell, wants me to tell you the part about how he's given money down through the years.
Well, I hardly think that that recommends...
Excuse me, one moment.
Go, Ms. Gray.
Ms. Gray, I've been informed by Mr. Bell that you're a pain in the ass.
Oh, you have you? My God.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Testing.
Dr. Jim Sadler. It's a very delicate situation. It's a delicate situation. That's what they call it. It's a very delicate situation. All right. I'm searching everywhere. I'm searching up and down. I don't know. I don't know. Where's the news, man? Where's the fucking news, bitch? There it is. Okay, cool. What's with Google Chrome? Why are they in such a big rush to get my ass onto Google? I understand. Look, do you really think we have anything that's a secret anymore? I mean, come on, folks. Google, during all of those years that they were street mapping, they were also intercepting Wi-Fi information. You think it's the fucking government? This is not about controlling your life so much as you got to understand. If you want to sit there in a basement someplace and worry about the government controlling your motherfucking life, I hate to break the news. Not even I'm that important, you know. But anyway, nobody's that... They don't give a fuck. What they want to know about isn't so much what you're doing to fuck with the government. They want to know what it is you're eating, how long it takes for you to take a shit, how often you make love to your wife or your husband, what your kids eat for breakfast. They want to know your habits. Why? Because they want to sell you shit. They want to sell you shit. They're not trying to control your motherfucking vote. They want to know how you're going to vote. They're not trying to control your fucking movements. They want to know where your movements are. There's a difference. It's subtle. It's one that is not easily grasped by the more paranoid and more, you know, regressive of our element. People whose minds and their brains and their fucking dicks are still stuck up the asshole of the 50s. People who are still worried about communism and socialism and that name that everybody learned when Obama was running for president. What's that motherfucker? Saul, you know, all of these motherfucking pea brains are missing the fucking point completely. Listen to me, and I will tell you. What's going on, man, is that these motherfuckers want to know, before maybe you even know, what you're going to do because they want to sell you shit. They want to know where you drive your car. They don't want to control where the car goes because they want to sell you shit. They want to know where you go to get your hair done and maybe what you're going to have your hair look like. They're not trying to control what your motherfucking hair looks like. They don't give a shit what you look like. They just want to sell you shit. They want to know who you're going to vote for in a Major League All-Star balloting, not try to control who you're going, you know, they're not trying to control who you're going to vote for, but who you're going to vote for, because they want to sell you shit, man. They want to know whether they're going to buy tickets to the Major League Baseball games. They want to know whether you're going to buy tickets to the fucking football game, because they want to sell you a new brand of Cracker Jack, a new hot dog, a new fucking tire. Okay? It's much easier. You ask me, well, why, Phil? Because it's much easier than controlling what a guy does. It's fucking hard to control what a man does. It's hard to control a man's mind. It's hard to brainwash somebody. It's hard to fucking say you're going to go here today and then there tomorrow. Who the fuck wants to do that? Only a government that knows nothing about human behavior wants to do that. We already saw it. We saw it with the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century. The communists, the fascists, and so forth. Doesn't work. Doesn't work, man. The most corrupt regime of the 20th century was the Nazi Germany. Graft like you wouldn't believe. Payoffs like you wouldn't fucking believe. Theft like you wouldn't believe at the highest level. Make fucking Watergate and Nixon look like fucking pikers. Look like small timers. They were the most crooked motherfuckers. At the end of the day, they were murderers, sure. They started a world war, sure. They did all these marvelous things. But at the end of the fucking day, they were just crooked as fuck. Stole, amassed enormous amounts of wealth. Because that's for them, at the end of the day, that was the easier thing to do, man. Everybody wants to make money. The commies, they want to make money. Making you vote a certain way, making you buy a certain product, making you shit in a certain toilet paper, making you do all that stuff is far more difficult than trying to figure out what it is you would do yourself. You can control people's actions insofar as you can offer them an enticement. You can say, here's a really good sugar cereal. Well, how many people do you think are going to buy that cereal? It depends. Are they sick and tired of sugared cereals? If they're not, and it's a really good sugared cereal, it's a reasonable bet that they're going to want to buy the latest sugared cereal that's on the market. You may have controlled people's actions that way, but you're certainly not putting a gun to their fucking head. You're offering them sugared cereal. You're offering them something. And if they don't want that, you'll offer them something else. Get fucking with it. I should be giving, like, TED Talks, like, don't you think I... Invite me to your... Look, at, I'll tell you what. I will give this kind of a talk for your group. You know? What I should do, maybe I should have a series of talks and go to, you know, like... I wish we had a speaker's corner or something. I'm going to write these different talks down, and I'm going to... I know my good friend Lauren Keller out there in Iowa has been doing, I owe you for Federal Express, man, has been doing a bang-up job. He has done something that is amazing. He is transcribing my pre-shows. It must be fucking boring as shit. But he's been coming up with a few things. And, you know, I totally appreciate that. Dude, I do. And, these are Phil, I'll put these, Phil Talks. This is called Sell You Shit. Huh? Yeah? Yeah. All right. Lauren, I apologize. Tomorrow we're paying bills. We got a check to you forthwith. What we need is a fucking Federal Express. I don't do that much Federal Express, you know, so there's no point in doing a fucking Federal Express account, but I'm going to get that done. Tomorrow, by the way, I'm going to be in the studio with Wayne Fetterman and David Goodman. And hold on. David Goodman, a producer for Family Guy and a writer for Family Guy. Wayne Fetterman, well-known and much respected and very funny stand-up comic. Been on all kinds of shows. You name it, he's been on it. Lots of fucking movies. And I want to, and I was talking last night to our good close personal friend there, Derek Waters, who considers Wayne one of his favorite stand-ups. And also, though, I want to, God damn it, what is this? Thanks. I'm looking
for a love to call my own.
John Reap, winner of Last Comic Standing, Season 5. John Reap is going to be with us tomorrow. Wayne Fetterman, John Reap, and David Goodman. Fucking enjoy that. That'll be good. I want to point out the picture that today we had on our show log of Amy Schumer. Now that's one holy hell of a great picture. Okay, if you're an appreciator, appreciate a woman's ass. Now I understand that she's kind of, you know, packed into that dress. Who knows? And it doesn't make any difference to me. She looks fucking great there. So that was, I thought that was a kind of a cool bit yesterday. You know, Pastor Rennick talking about how the road to hell. Nothing sends a man to hell faster than a blonde with a big butt. Brother, I believe that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. What do we got going on, man? I'm looking. Blocks Pro-Life Group. All right, so I need, here's a very interesting story. This Boeing, big story here, as you guys probably have heard. Huge fucking story. And I think it's time we get Art Griego on to talk about that, right? Okay. What am I doing, man? I'm looking for a love. I'm looking here and there. I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking. Looking for a love to call my own. Somebody. Wait a minute, man. I'm looking for a love. There's Paul Rudd in the, what commercial is, oh. There's Danny, what's his name? I did a King of the Hill with that cat. And, nice man. I asked him about doing Heat, and he said, shit, it was great, because he had a message on his answering machine from
370, our aviation
Robert De Niro.
Correspondent Renee Marsh now reporting, according to a source close to the investigation, that an initial assessment from Boeing of photographs of suggests that the debris just discovered off the coast of Africa is in fact consistent in appearance with the Boeing 777's flaperon. A flaperon is a piece of the plane's wing. This source telling Renee that there is a unique element to the Boeing 777's flaperon that they believe they are now seeing in photos that have been seen now online here in the Situation Room, indeed around the world. They're not providing more details. They say this is preliminary, but they're watching it closely. Remember, 239 people were on board that plane that disappeared more than a year ago. The search, Richard Quest, and you've been studying this now very, very closely, was in a wholly different area from where they found this piece of the plane, presumably. And it raises all sorts of questions, doesn't it?
It does, but it is consistent, as we were hearing, with the way in which the currents in that part of the world operate, and also, Wolf, the time between when it happened in March of 2014 and now, which gives you a rough idea of how long it would have taken to get west over to Reunion Island.
I remember people saying, well, first of all, they got the story wrong in the paper. It said that it was in the eastern Indian Ocean. It wasn't. It was the far western Indian Ocean near Madagascar. But I remember when people were talking about the currents, but they kept talking about how fast the currents were. That's a year and a half for it to swing over. You saw that search area, right? Let's see this, man. What is this, man? Is this more? Let's see. Yeah, this is more. Okay, here.
And if it is part of this missing plane, they're trying to look where it might fit into the plane. Our aviation analysts have looked it over themselves, and they basically say this could be a part that would be right in here, that sort of the inner flap right up next to the body of the plane there. So they have to consider, is it the right type to fit there? Is it the right color to fit there? And was it found in the right place?
What?
Airplane debris discovered on the tiny African island of Reunion has investigators scrambling to figure out if they may finally have evidence as to what happened to the missing plane, Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. At first blush, experts say it at least looks like the right kind of equipment.
When I look at the pictures, I see a portion of the wing, and it could be either a flap, an aileron, or what we call in the 777 a flapper, a flaperon, which is a combination of both.
MH370 disappeared after taking off from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on March 8th last year, bound for Beijing with 239 people aboard. After signing off at the control tower for the last time, the flight veered dramatically off course and disappeared from radar.
It's incomprehensible that this airplane has been missing for this long without any trace of it debris-wise for about a year and a half now.
For months, investigators searched the waters from Vietnam to Australia for any signs of wreckage, always coming up empty. They also looked into the backgrounds of the pilots, going so far as to examine body language on airport surveillance video, and again, they found nothing. Malaysian authorities eventually declared the flight a loss and said the passengers and crew were all presumed dead, something many families refused to accept. And now this, after almost 500 days of fruitless searching, finally what may be the first real clue and hope for answers.
There have been other crashes over here near Reunion Island, so it's possible that this debris could be linked to something like that. They'll have to check the serial numbers on this, and then they will know for sure if they have a match. But even then, they'll have a big question, Jake, and that is, what was it doing way over here near Africa when all these search areas have been over here?
This guy's such a douchebag, this motherfucker, for seeing. First of all, you know, and I'm just a casual viewer of this, no 777s, no 777s have gone down there. And I think what I read today was how many, you know, out of a very, if any, few number of 777s that have crashed, none have gone down there in that part of the thing. And then the other thing, how did it get all the way over here? Well, they're talking about the fucking currents, I guess. I don't know. Is it that impossible? The one thing that was for me, that was significant wasn't this jackball. What the fuck is this? Here's something else. Hold on. Wait a minute.
It's a matter of time now before we learn if it belongs to Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. We have a team of CNN analysts here weigh in. Les Cobbend is a 777 pilot. David Soucy was an FAA safety inspector. And Mary Schiavo was the inspector general for the Department of Transportation.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to all of you for joining me. Let me start with you, Mary. This debris, how long might it take to inspect it and get some definitive answers?
Well, if the part numbers that are stamped on the pieces of the plane still survive, it literally could be a phone call to Boeing or to the parts indices to look up the parts number to see if it belongs to a 777. And if it belongs to a 777, it is MH370, because there have only been five accidents of 777.
Thank you.
Of a 777, one in London, one in San Francisco, the shoot down by the Russians of MH17, one where there wasn't any debris, and this one. So the answer could come, you know, within hours if Boeing has been contacted and has been provided part numbers.
The shoot down by the pro-Russian separatists, I should note, just so we don't get a letter from Vladimir Putin. David, the debris was discovered on an island near Madagascar in the southern part of the Indian Ocean.
Yes.
That's in the region where the experts feared it went down. Do you believe that this theory could finally be panning out?
Well, to me, the odds are against it because of the fact that we've got so much contradictory evidence both ways. But I think that it is possible. I'm not ruling it out, certainly.
What?
Last MH370 was headed northeast towards Beijing. This area is close to 4,000 miles from where the plane was last spotted, thousands of miles from the search area. What could have possibly pushed it so far southwest, so far off course?
Well, it's, you know, that's what we've been talking about for so long, almost a year and a half now, with the Inmarsat theories and how it got that direction. Was it controlled by a human through the autopilot? Was the airplane on its own with the autopilot due to some flight control damage because of a mechanical issue? It's hard to say if this is indeed a part of MH370, and I think that it's possible that it could have drifted that far to the west with the two typhoons that went through during the search process. Certainly anything's possible, especially, you know, if air was maintained in that particular piece of flight control surface.
Yes,
there.
Yes, yes.
So anything is certainly possible.
Oh.
Mary, if this debris does belong to MH370, but they still are not able to ever recover the black boxes, could this debris be used to determine what brought the plane down?
Well, it's going to be very difficult this long in the water. I mean, lots of clues that might have been on it will have been erased by the salt water and of time. But I think what it will be used for, if this is a 370, if it's a 777, is they will go back and look at the search right at the inception, and they will say, look, if the plane was turning back and did not follow the arcs that Inmarsat had projected, then where would the fuel starvation be if the turn back was a straight projection? Remember, before people got the Inmarsat data, this is kind of the area where on a decompression and a simple turn back, where the pilots were just trying to get home, where the plane might have ended up. So I think whether or not they ever find the black boxes, this might cause some reevaluation of the theories as to where it went.
Bullshit. So anyway, there you have it. And
go! Destra.
I don't know, man. Here's the thing that I think is this is the best theory, is that there was the atmosphere that they decompressed. The whole goddamn plane, decompression, everybody goes out, right? Right. They might have had a problem, they wanted to turn, and between the time that they eventually made the turn, and any possible landing they could have made on the islands or the land masses to the south and to the west that they were headed toward, the entire aircraft decompressed, knocking everybody out. It happens. We've seen it. It's happened with small jets. I know. I don't know about big ones, but the entire fucking thing went gone. Now, someone said they turned off the fucking... something was turned off, and they said a human turned it off. I don't know what that is. Maybe it was a mistake somebody made. That's the only thing that looks kind of weird. Who's this? Here's another thing that we have, Bob.
Michael Bublé of his time. During World War II, he boarded a military plane in London and disappeared. The single-engine Norden Norseman likely crashed into the English Channel, but the plane was never found. Conspiracy theories abound. Was it friendly fire that caused the crash? Or was Miller a spy? In 1962, a plane like this one, operated by Flying Tiger Line, took off from Guam en route to the Philippines. On board were 107 people, most of whom were Army Rangers. 2.5 hours after it took off, a tanker reported seeing explosions in the sky. Yet the subsequent search that covered 144,000 square miles found nothing. On May 25th, 2003, Ben Charles Padilla and his assistant boarded a decommissioned American Airlines plane in Angola. Neither knew how to fly the Boeing 727. Yet before sunset, it took off without clearance, headed towards the Atlantic Ocean, never to be seen again. Until MH370, it was the largest plane to disappear without a trace. And then there's the legendary Bermuda Triangle, a section of the Atlantic Ocean that's between Bermuda, Florida, and Puerto Rico, that ships and planes travel with trepidation. In December 1945, five Navy bombers took off from Fort Lauderdale to practice bombing runs over some nearby sandbars. Uh-huh. But the leader of the mission apparently became disoriented, and all five planes were lost at sea. That same day, a rescue plane disappeared, and a massive search failed to turn up any evidence of the planes or their crew.
Right. Well, there's been explanations for that since, so, you know, fuck all that shit. I'm just not big on that bullshit. You dig what I'm putting down, man? All right, we got two. Oh, fuck. We're backed up. I'm feeling backed up here. Okay. Hey, bitch. Come on. So, yeah, man. I mean, this is... it's a wild and crazy and fucked up thing. And it's getting more jacked up as we go. And then on October 3rd, a little sailing boat, it was sailed by Timmy Winson, and it went out from the little, you know, dock that his mother was making sandwiches on, and Timmy sailed into the center of the bay. A gigantic sea cruiser, a large, big fucking converted mineship, just came across and just split little Timmy's craft in half and sucked the whole thing under, and they never found him. Huh? Now, what's that? Okay. Another thing. What the fuck, man? So, in other words, Okay, wait, man. I'm ready to go, man. Don't worry about it, dude. I got it. You think I'm hearing voices? No, I'm not. I'm just talking to myself. That's what I want to get, though. I want to get Harvey. I want to get this story. Here it is. I'm ready for love. Boeing official thinks debris found off Reunion looks like part of a 777. This is the story here. Now, the other stories that we have are very self-contained. I got Vernon Dozier on Deflategate. I have to get that one. Pardon me, Deflategate. Okay. What's up with the news, man? Brings out the venom. Okay, Tom Brady has ripped the NFL against a new fucking ass. What is this? Okay, print. Nah, motherfucker. All right, there's that, and then we have one more thing that I want to do. Harvey Weierman, Ted Bell, Jim Sadler, Vernon Dozier on Deflategate. Oh, Special Olympics, and then we have Art Griego on Malaysian Air 370. Right. Ah, fuck. What the fuck? All right. I don't think I'm gonna give a fuck about Deflategate, man. Personally, I don't give a shit about that fucking shit.
I don't care, man, about that shit, see? I don't give a fuck.
All right, man. I think I'm ready to rock this bitch, and you is too, and I are, and this is going to be good. It's going to be good. I've got to take about 3 minutes out of the pre-show, and I will do that later. Testing 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Let's turn the fan off. Let's get our shit together. Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Ted Bell, Vernon Dozier, and Art Griego. Art is at, I think it's at the airport. Phone, plane, phone. Outgoing. Waiting. Okay, cool. Here we go. Testing one. Testing. Phew. God damn, man. Fuck. You know? Here we go.